Well, and we're back. And today we are with a gentleman, as we mentioned earlier, Senior Vice Chancellor, UNO, B.J. Reed. And what we're going to talk about, I think, I actually thought was going to be a little bit more of a controversial issue than what has happened. And the World Herald came out with this last week, the discussion of domestic partnerships and whether or not the state of Nebraska or the university system should adopt a pending proposal sometime around December 6th. I think the chancellor is going to formally present something. And in it, it is going to propose that domestic partners be covered in for staff members. So with us to discuss the issue, Senior Vice President B.J. Reed, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I think probably a good way to start it off, I talked to some friends about this because it is interesting. The second I saw this in the paper, I thought, okay, this could be an emotional topic. This could be something where you've got the religious right against the left, and predominantly, I think, in the university system is mostly left. So, boy, this could really be a heat. This could really heat up. But to put it into perspective, what is a domestic partner? When you hear it, I hear it, you think, okay, it's kind of the polite way of saying a gay marriage or a homosexual union.
Yeah, this is we're referring to this as a one plus program, which is basically focused on individuals in a household that are interdependent on each other for at least 12 months and share a household, in effect. And this doesn't include parents or grandparents or those sort of things, but it really is aimed at partners who have an interdependent relationship. Now, most people focus on this as domestic partners, and my guess is that most of them that would take advantage of this are, but it's not exclusively for domestic partners.
Chancellor, I'd like to ask, my aunt for years worked in the University of Nebraska system, and she's a caretaker of my elderly grandmother. Now, you had mentioned earlier that these benefits do not go to people that fit those categories at the moment.
Right.
Now, having that said, good or bad, I know there's groups out there that would say a situation like that's good. There's groups out there that would say a situation like that is bad. You know, there's a whole bunch of different scenarios. If we allow this, I can't think of what you
One got. Plus.
One plus. Thank you. Do you think that we're kind of good or bad opening up doors by doing this, if you get the question?
Well, I get the question. I think it's a very specific policy that's based on standard of practice among large organizations, business, private, and public organizations. So their experience has not been that this somehow opens a gate for other issues to creep in. I think it's a very clear and specific, and this is also going to be linked in terms of the IRS code about, you know, what's taxable and what isn't taxable. So they've thought this through pretty clearly. We've looked at how other universities have set up their programs and their policies. So there's been a lot of research on this. So I'm pretty comfortable that we've designed this in a way, or the president has designed this in a way that's going to meet that standard of practice.
Well, a lot of times in Europe, for instance, I know a lot of my friends, even now, you know, 15, 20 years into it, they skip the whole formality of being married, and they just live with each other. So I guess what I was getting at, and I think you answered, is the domestic partnership does not necessarily pertain to strictly homosexual relationships.
That's correct.
And the rules or the restrictions or what it takes to qualify to be eligible, you know, hold a joint mortgage, lease a loan or a lease or of an automobile even, be designated as a beneficiary on the partner's life insurance, hold mutually granted powers of attorney, be authorized to sign the bank account. I mean, I think what it's pointing to is that, like you were saying, interdependence on each other. I mean, they rely on each other for their livelihood.
Yeah, for
the
household.
Partnered up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, we were kind of looking at the data around this, and there's a wonderful article actually in the Atlantic magazine this month, and it's focusing on the changing nature of women in the workplace and in domestic relationships. And only 25% of domestic relationships are the standard one that we all think about, you know, a husband and wife and kids in a home in a nuclear family. So, you know, the world's changed, and And there are a lot of individuals who are not getting married or who are staying in relationships for an extended period of time. So, again, while most folks think of domestic partnerships equal, you know, a gay or homosexual relationship, that's not the case, and this is not aimed at that population specifically.
Well, a lot of people are talking about a lot of the regions in the article go on to say that they say that, and they say that what they're mostly going to take into consideration is the cost. Now, the article came out a little while ago, and the proposal, I'm guessing, is being put together now for presentation at the beginning of December. Has there been any cost-benefit analysis? For instance, 2%, I think, of other markets, they actually take advantage of this. It's going to be $1.5 million. Is there any way to analyze that we'll get $2 million in a benefit? With education, I think it's really hard. You can't say, oh, we'll get $2 million of education out of the educators that are willing to come back here, but there must be some sort of an analysis.
Well, you can analyze to some extent the expenditure side. It's very hard to, as you said, to analyze the kind of the revenue or benefit side. We can look at comparative organizations, for example, so we know that a large number of large employers, and certainly the University of Nebraska is a large employer, have domestic partner benefits. The cost and the number of individuals who take advantage of it and the net cost is anywhere from 1.5%, 2% in terms of budget. For the University of Nebraska, they've given a range of 750 to $1 million, $1.5 million in terms of the actual cost, but you have to, and maybe 100 to 150 individuals that would take advantage of it. But, you know, University of Nebraska's got thousands and thousands of employees. It will not actually increase, we will not have to increase the cost to all the employees in terms of the benefit package because of this. It's basically a very marginal increase in overall cost of the institution. And when you look at it, it's really an economic development issue. It's a competition issue. As we said at the Board of Regents meeting, as President Milliken said, you know, every school in the Big Ten but UNL has this benefit as part of their HR package. Half of the peers, or over half of the peers at UNO, about half the peers at UNK, all have these benefit packages. So it's a competitive economic development issue to a great extent.
How much of a black eye was it? If you're in meetings or whatever with other regents or other university organizations, did it stand out that, hey, Nebraska, you don't have a policy like this? Could you get that changed? Was it embarrassing, or is it just...
No, I don't think it's embarrassing. I think the real issue here is, are we at a competitive advantage or disadvantage in terms of recruiting faculty and staff? I believe it's an important issue in terms of our policy around diversity and inequality. But take that even out of the mix. You know, are we competitive? And you do have individuals who will give a second thought to coming to the University of Nebraska if those domestic partner benefits aren't available.
And we have some circumstantial evidence in the way of letters that were written to the chancellor, right? People that would say that, or said they had to leave because they could not afford to live in Nebraska because of not being able to extend those sorts of benefits. So at least some circumstantial evidence to back it up.
Right. It's hard. You know, you're not going to go out and do a systematic survey of individuals who decide not to come here. But I know personally at least a few cases of where that shaped either people coming or retaining existing faculty because it's an economic issue for those households.
And let's face it, whether you're gay or not doesn't have much of an impact on how well you teach kids. Personal opinion, I'm kind of a Republican with a libertarian bent, but I had mentioned earlier, I kind of expected a little bit more controversy. Am I missing out on some of the controversy, or has it just not really been all that heated?
You know, that's a good question. I certainly, of course, I'm in a university environment where all the faculty senate support this, all the student senate support this policy. So it has very strong internal support and has for a number of years. Are there people who are opposed to it? Sure, there are going to be individuals opposed to it. Again, oftentimes for philosophical reasons or religious reasons, and I respect those opinions. But I have not received a lot of negative feedback. I don't think our campus has received, or the chancellor of our campus has received, a lot of negative feedback about this. I think the world's just changed a lot. And this is not I don't think it's a particularly big deal for the vast majority of people.
So internally, lots of support and an argument can be waged. And I think at least it was brought up by Al Raskowski from the Nebraska Family Council that, you know, in 2000 we had, in essence, a sort of referendum to disallow gay marriage in the state. And his argument is that if you consider the state not being in favor of gay marriage, then is that facet of our government, the university system, actually going against what the moral or beliefs in general are of the population at large? And of course, that would have to be countered with some sort of a referendum. Or what could you do to make sure that the citizens of Nebraska are on board with that, and that we're not, in essence, condoning gay marriage?
This is not a gay marriage issue. This is a domestic partner issue, and it's a benefit issue in terms of health insurance. I mean, you look at all the people who are uninsured in this country. Look at the number of people who delay health care because, you know, this is a domestic partner health care benefit issue. It's not a gay marriage issue. It's not an issue of taking a stand politically or otherwise on gay marriage. This does not violate the state law or the Constitution about the policy on any of those issues, or the Defense of Marriage Act. It is not in conflict with that. This is very simply a domestic partner health benefit issue, not anything else.
But you couldn't, for instance, put something in there that stipulates that cohabitation or domestic partnership less homosexual couples. I mean, that wouldn't go through. That would kind of go against what they're shooting for. But although it would satisfy some factions of our population that are kind of freaked out about the prospects of homosexuals being married.
Well, do we consider, you know, Mutual of Omaha or Union Pacific some kind of radical business elite? They all have domestic partner benefits. So this is not some kind of wild-eyed, crazy, liberal conspiracy. I mean, it just isn't. It is standard practice in the business community. Yep. Now. It's standard practice in universities around the country. In fact, we're kind of playing catch-up here in terms of what is the standard of practice in terms of benefit packages. It's that simple.
To not do something like this would probably just handicap us in our new Big Ten conference, well, then the prospects of it going through, you listening in the or reading the paper and some of the things we've been talking about, it sure seems like the regents are on board with this, and the regents are of course elected by the citizens, so you don't necessarily need to have a referendum to get an idea of what the population wants. We have elected these representatives at the that are called regents, and all of them, it seems to me, are at least open to the idea. What are the real prospects that this Nebraska Family Council and the concerns that they have could infiltrate the system and not have this thing go through? Or is this just a done deal?
Well, I'm certainly not going to speak for the regents. They are an elected body. They do represent the citizens of the state of Nebraska. They will make a judgment and a decision based on what they think's in the best interest of Nebraska and the best interest of the University of Nebraska. So I'm not going to handicap or guess what the board says. The questions that did come up in this past Board of Regents meeting were about cost. They were about getting a sense of what the overall impact would be on health care and other benefits for the University of Nebraska. And I think that's the key issue that I'm sure data is being collected now will be presented when this goes forward to the board.
So do you guys actually apply the scientific method where if the data is counter to what your initial beliefs are, you will not consider it?
Oh, gosh, no, we never did.
It's one thing. Someday we've got to have a show or a discussion about what the scientific method is because nobody takes it into account. Even my sister this weekend was saying that Nebraskans tend to get married at a younger age. Well, and that's not true. We are it's just not true. And you can look it up. You'd think so intuitively. Anyway, the data is being collected on this issue. This issue, the chancellor certainly is going to say, or his stand on it is that we have to do this for competitive reasons. It's not a moral issue. Homosexuality or homosexuals participating in this may, of course, be something that happens, but we've got to do this to make our conference a bigger, better, stronger conference. And I'm sold. I'd like to hear some calls from people that disagree with this, but we'll have to get to those after these messages.